Our scripture this morning is found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, verses 69 through 75. Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 through 75. Let me tell you what we're going to learn this morning. Number one, we're going to learn about our weakness apart from the grace and the strength of God. Peter failed because he was prayerless. Peter failed because he hadn't done what Jesus told him to do. Jesus told him to watch and pray, and he had done neither. But we also are going to see that no matter what, Jesus will not let us go. Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 through 75. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, "You too were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you were talking about." When he had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." A little later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Surely you too are one of them, for even the way you talk gives you away." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately, a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, "Before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for the reading of your perfect and infallible word in our midst this morning. And God, we ask that you, as you illumined the heart and mind of Matthew when you gave to him this perfect and infallible word, that you would illumine our hearts and minds this morning as well. That you would cause us to learn the lessons that you prompted Matthew to teach us through what you caused him to write. God, we love you with all of our soul. We trust you with all of our heart. And we offer this prayer in and through the name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Master. Amen. I don't know about you, but this passage is very uncomfortable. It hits way too close to home for us. Because this passage shows us a man who just moments before had said, "Even if I have to die for you, I will not abandon you." A few moments before, this same man had grabbed a sword and threw himself into overwhelming odds to attack the group that had come to Jesus. And now, when he is faced with zero intimidation, very little pressure, he caves. He absolutely caves. We've already mentioned the backdrop to this. We've seen that chapter 26, and I understand it took us a long time to get through chapter 26 of Matthew's Gospel. There's just so much. that Matthew shares with us as he's laying the framework. And I'm just going to give you a preview of our evening message. And if you don't join us in person, I hope that you'll join us online. Because what you're going to see, if you look down in your Bible at the very next text, in Matthew 27, verses 1 through 10, we see Judas's remorse. And so Matthew is juxtaposing Peter's denials of Jesus against Judas's remorse for betraying him. And I want you to understand, this is going to hurt. These two men did the exact same thing. We want to look at Judas and say that somehow Judas' sin was different than any of the others. It was not. Judas betrayed Jesus. Peter betrayed Jesus. Because listen to me, beloved, all sin is betrayal of God. It is betraying God. It is turning our back on Him. To use the King James terms, it is whoring ourselves to sin. And I like the way the King James puts that because it's shocking to hear that word. It's shocking to hear that word in polite society, but it's even more shocking when that word is applied to us. That our sin is whoring ourselves to Satan. Betraying our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can say that Peter's sin was different. But from where I come from, if I tell you that I will do something, and then I do not, what have I just done? I betrayed your trust. I said that I would do something, and I did not. Betrayal is betrayal. Again, one of the reasons that I so enjoy working through a book of the Bible at a time. And in just a couple of months, we're going to work through an entire book of the Bible in one sermon. Okay? It's the book of Obadiah. I told you we were going to Obadiah when we finished Matthew. I've already written a sermon. I lost it. It's somewhere in my desk, but it's on my computer. So y'all are going, I know you're. We're still going to have it. All I got to do is reprint it. But the reason that I enjoy going through a book of the Bible at a time is that we're forced to deal. We can slow down. And we can spend the time that these texts deserve. And we understand that this one that was born to the announcement of angels came to die, but not just to die. To die in the most horrible isolation and in the context of the betrayal of his closest friends. This passage talks to us about our weakness. Let me tell you something. If Peter could fall, so can we. If Peter could deny Jesus this easily, so can we. And if we think we can't, then we are no different than Simon the Pharisee that we studied in Sunday school this morning. We may as well change the name of our denomination to Southern Pharisee Church instead of Southern Baptist. And I can preach a sermon, because sadly, beloved, in a lot of Southern Baptist churches, there's no difference. There's no difference between Southern Baptist and Southern Pharisee. They may as well go ahead and change the name on the sign, because they're living it on the inside. All right? Y'all didn't know I was going to go. I didn't know I was going to go there either. Anyway, the point this morning is that we see God speaking to us in a glorious way of the love and the mercy of Jesus. We must never forget our weakness apart from the grace of God, nor the exceeding sinfulness of sin. Now, again, let's just quickly recap. We've had the Lord's Supper. Jesus has instituted the Lord's Supper. And he's announced, he didn't call him by name, but he's announced that Judas is going to betray him. And every single one of them, you remember? What did they say when Jesus said, one of y'all is going to betray me? Every single one of them said, is it me? Is it me? At least back at the Lord's Supper, they were honest with themselves enough to know the condition of their hearts, that it could have been them. But then a few minutes later, Jesus says, you're all going to deny me. Now, doesn't that sound a whole lot better? If I said to one of y'all, you're going to deny me, doesn't that sound so much nicer than you're going to betray me? Okay? That just sounds so much cleaner and so much nicer than betraying me, but it's the same thing. Every single one of them said, I'm not going to do this. And Jesus then gently corrects Peter and says, Peter, before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny me. And Peter then says, to the very word of God. Remember how John described Jesus? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John tells us that Jesus is the living Word of God. And Peter looks at the living Word of God and says, you're wrong. I won't do that. I won't do that. And then Jesus, remember when you were little and you was arguing with your parents and they knew they were right and you were wrong, and you were just absolutely convinced that your parents were not only wrong, but they were complete idiots. Okay? And your parents knew that no good is going to come out of prolonging this discussion. I'm just going to have to let them learn this particular lesson the hard way. I don't know about y'all, but if it weren't for learning things the hard way, I'd be about the stupidest man on the face of the earth. Okay? Because I've had to learn all of the important lessons in my life the hard way. I mean, I don't know about you, but sometimes in my prayer time, I'll just say, Lord, you know, I recognize this particular problem in my life, and could you see fit to let me learn it some way other than the hard way for once? Okay? Could you let me learn this lesson the easy way for once? So anyway, Jesus then, he lets Peter look him in the eye and say, "You're wrong." He lets that pass. And they go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus asked Peter, he asked the others, we're going to focus on Peter. Jesus asked Peter to do two things, to watch and to pray. "You said you would never deny me. Prove it. Watch and pray." Not once, not twice, but three times Jesus comes back and finds Peter betraying him. If I ask you to do something and you don't, you have betrayed me. Let's not play games with language, beloved. Let's understand that words have meaning. And what we say and what we do has consequences. And Jesus says, you said you would, no matter what, you would never deny me. Prove it by staying awake and praying for just a little while. Well, I go a little bit further and pray for your salvation. And Peter can't do it. In our text this morning, Peter is not under intense questioning. He has not been arrested. These are not armed Roman guards. A confession is not being beaten out of him. He's just in the courtyard. And two servant girls see him and ask, "Aren't you one of his disciples?" And Matthew's showing us just how weak Peter was that night. And this shows how heartbreaking this betrayal was. We saw last week that at least Peter had some courage, verse 58, Peter was following him at a distance. You know what, beloved? That's our problem. We're following Jesus at a distance. We don't want to be too close. We don't want to be identified as one of his. We don't want to be close enough. How many of y'all taught your kids this lesson? When the law shows up, everybody's going to jail. Right? If you're somewhere and the law shows up, don't argue with them. You're going to get arrested. Get arrested and go to town with them and we'll deal with it there. But don't try to deal with it out there. We were trying to teach our children a little bit of common sense. That if somebody they were with had a court of shine, almost everybody in here remembers when that was illegal. All right? Y'all remember that when just having a mason jar with clear liquid in it was illegal? Or when somebody has marijuana, it's not a good idea to get into the car with them. Or to go to their house. Or to go wherever they're going. Because if you get associated with them, you're going to get a reputation. Now, I know we've talked about that as Christians, we need to be associated with sinners. Remember that song from Casting Crowns, Jesus, friend of sinners. But what I'm saying, beloved, is that we want to be back in verse 58. We want to follow Jesus at a distance. We don't want to be close enough to Him that people would talk about us. When Peter gets inside the gate, when he gets close enough to get identified with Jesus, he's filled with fear. He's filled with fear. And he denies Jesus three times. Now, let me tell you something. How many times is this event recorded in the Gospels? All four of the Gospels record this event. Why is that important? It proves the inerrancy of Scripture. If you were trying to start a religion, would you have shown the most important figure in the early days of that religion under these circumstances? Would you have shown how weak? Let me ask you a question. How many times is Muhammad shown in a light like this? Not once. Verses 69 through 70. We see Peter standing outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, "You are with Jesus the Galilean." He denied it before them all, saying, "I don't know what you're talking about." Now, the language that he's using here is the language that one would use in a court of law. So he is making a formal declaration. Why is that? We're going to see when we get to the conclusion of this sermon in a while. I got to be careful. When we first started doing this online, I said that we'll get to that in a couple of hours, and we lost half of our viewers online. Just bang, they checked out at that second. It was over for them. They said, "I ain't listening to this guy for hours." Okay. And so I don't say that anymore because I'm afraid our online people will take me seriously. But Peter is standing close enough that he can at least hear what's going on with Jesus. He can hear what's being said at least, and he may be able to see it. Verses 71 through 72. He's nervous now. Why? What happened in the last two verses? He's in the courtyard. Now what's he doing? He's moving away. He's been recognized, and so he's getting close to the gate. He's getting close to the door so that if something happens, he can hopefully get out of there quickly. Another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth," and again, he denied it with an oath. This is getting scary now, beloved. "I do not know the man." Here's why it's scary. Again, we're in a courtroom. Peter is using language one would use in a courtroom. When it says he denied it with an oath, doesn't mean, and the next verse is where it says Peter swore, he's not using dirty words. I want you to understand that. Peter is now saying, "By God, I do not know the man." He is swearing an oath. He is saying something that he hopes will convince them that he is a righteous man. There's just one problem here, beloved. In a Jewish court, if you swear an oath falsely, what's the penalty?
Death. Death.
If you say something under oath that you know to be untrue, then you are to be put to death. Peter just invoked God's name, swore an oath, and said something that was patently, demonstrably false. He knew Jesus. But notice again something even more heartbreaking. Do you see it? He doesn't even use Jesus' name. It's one thing for me to say, I don't know Jesus. It's another thing to say, I don't even know the man. I don't know the man. I won't even call him by name. I won't even call this man by name. Listen, beloved, this was the Peter that just a short while ago, when asked by Jesus, who do you say that I am? Said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I do not know the man. Now, I don't know how Peter was justifying this in his mind. How would you? Don't look at me like you haven't ever lied to God and tried to justify it in your mind. Tried to come up with some way that you could plausibly deny the truth. Somehow Peter has constructed in his mind a way that he can swear an oath and deny that he knows the man. And maybe, some of the younger people in this room, if somebody said to them, we know that you go to Concord Baptist Church and we've arrested your pastor Lawrence Jones. Are you a member of his church? They could honestly say, I don't know the man. Because they've never known that my name is Lawrence. And Peter may be playing games saying, Jesus' name is not Jesus of Nazareth. And so I can plausibly say, I don't know the man. I don't know a Jesus of Nazareth. I know a Jesus Christ. I know a Jesus ben Yosef. But I don't know a Jesus of Nazareth. Playing games with the truth. Verses 73 through 74. This is where it gets even scarier. A little later, Peter's still standing at the gate as far as we know. And they said, surely you're one of them. Because your accent gives you away. We can tell by the way that you're talking that you're from the same place that he's from. Then he began to curse and to swear. Again, Peter is not using coarse language. He is saying, if I am lying to you, may God strike me dead. May God bring a curse upon me if I am not telling the truth. How can you justify this? How can you justify your Savior is mere yards away from you? This one that you said was the Christ, the Son of the living God, you have testified that you believe that God speaks, that God knows what's going on in our lives, and you say, if I am not telling the truth, may God bring this curse upon me. And can I tell you a secret? The rooster crowing was a blessing. Because if God had let this thing go on any longer, Peter was going to lose his faith. He'd already lost his testimony. We'll talk about that in a minute. He'd already lost his testimony. But he's about to lose his faith. And God, listen to me, beloved, because Peter had called down a curse upon himself if he were not telling the truth, God could have let that curse come to pass. Whatever it was, Peter said, God could have brought that judgment upon Peter immediately. But God calls that rooster to crow. Now, how can I say that? Roosters don't crow this time of night unless something's wrong. Roosters don't crow at this time of night. If they do, you ain't going to keep that rooster for long, right? You're either going to sell him to somebody else or there'll be fried chicken tomorrow night. Okay? And so this rooster is crowing at an unusual time. God calls that rooster to crow to put a stop to this. Verse 75. Peter remembers the prediction, the prophecy that Jesus had made earlier that night. And Peter went out and he wept bitterly. That's what I want. I don't want you to take it away with you. I do. But I don't want that to be the last thing that you hear this morning, because that's not the last thing. Peter recognized what he had done. He recognized that he had betrayed Jesus, because that's what sin is. Sin is a betrayal of God Himself. When we sin, we betray Him, the one who loves us and made us. Peter has been given so much by Jesus, and Peter turns on him. One commentator said it this way. We see this man denying three times in a row that he knows Jesus. Peter had been warned plainly of his danger, and he had heard the warning. He had just been receiving the bread and the wine of the Lord's Supper from Jesus himself, and he had just been loudly declaring that though he died with Jesus, he would not deny him. And it was a sin committed under apparently small provocation. No threat seems to have been used. No violence to have been done. But it was enough to overthrow Peter's faith. He denies him before them all. It's a truly humbling sight to see an apostle of Christ crumble like that. Matthew is showing us what it looks like to descend into sin. Peter thought that he was overconfident. Peter thought that he was overconfident. He thought, I can handle this. I don't need Jesus to help me in this situation. I got it. I don't need to force myself to do what Jesus asked me to do, because I'm strong enough to never deny Him. Matthew is showing us what happens when we don't watch and pray. He's telling every believer that we must watch in prayer and be consciously dependent upon the grace of Jesus, or we will fall to sin. If Peter can fall, so can we. And then Matthew is showing us how sin affects us. You know, you may have tried to build an amazing wall around whatever particular sin is in your past. Good for you. Been there, done that. Burned the t-shirts that I bought when I was doing the sin years ago. Because it's one thing to remind y'all of my sin. It's another thing, you know, for me to put it on and it to come back out from behind that wall that I built in my mind. Matthew shows us that sin affects us. He went out and he wept bitterly. Let me tell you something, beloved. Peter is going to get redeemed. We're going to see it in just a moment. Peter's going to get redeemed, and that's the only thing. Now, there's still reminders. The early church fathers said that there was never a time that a cock crowed in Peter's hearing that his eyes didn't well up in tears. I imagine so. Because it reminded him of how frail that he was. But it also brought a smile to his face because it reminded him of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you're here this morning and you're watching us this morning and there's something in your life that's been bedeviling you, that's been dragging you down, that's been holding you back, that Satan is telling you Jesus won't forgive you of that. Jesus can't forgive you of that. Peter betrayed his Lord and his Master face to face, and Jesus redeemed him. Jesus turned him in to one of the firebrand apostles. Jesus, just a few months after this, is going to have Peter speaking within yards of this, and 3,000 people are going to come to know Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. What does he want to do in your life this morning, beloved? If you'll look into his eyes, if you'll weep bitterly over the sin that's holding you away from Him, that's caused you to stand at the gateway thinking that you're going to be able to run away at the last minute if your sin is found out. Let me tell you something. Jesus has already found out your sin. He knows it. He's not waiting to condemn you. He will if you make Him. But you've got to make Him condemn you. But if you will just look into His eyes, if you'll just look into His eyes and cry out to Him, Luke 22:61. Look at what happened that night. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? The cock has just crowed. We presume that Jesus is being led across the courtyard. His face is beginning to turn black and blue from where he's been slapped. His hair is disheveled from where he's been slapped. He's bound at his hands. There's still spit on his face from the men that tried him. And Jesus heard that rooster crow just like Peter did, and he knew. He knew what it was going to do to Peter. He turned and he looked at Peter, and I've just got to believe that Peter has never seen so much love in a person's eyes in his entire lifetime. And Peter went away, and he had to get right with the Lord. One commentator said this: our Savior, as He stood giving account in His trial, working for the saving of the world, had time to turn a meaningful glance to His failing disciples, and so save him in the saving of the world, because the Lord Jesus was not going to let go of Peter, though Peter had let go of Him. We live in a crazy, loveless world. What the world calls love is not love. We need someone to love us like the Lord Jesus Christ does. Someone that loves us with a self-denying love. Someone committed to save us no matter what. Someone who will save our soul from sin. We need someone who loves us ferociously. And there's only one who loves us that way. He stands before us with a bruised face, looking at His failed disciple, Do you know that look? I do. I know what it's like to look into his face after I failed. But I also know what it feels like when he saves me and he restores me and he does an even greater work in my life. I pray that even in your most bitter failure, that you would find that we are a welcoming congregation. And all we want you to know is the love and the grace of Jesus, that no matter what, he will not let you go. Will you come to him this morning?